So this morning I'm very excited in the sense of what God is doing with us as a body and as a family and as individuals. Because I speak to guys in the body of God and I just hear them being challenged, you know. Oh, God put this on my heart. Like Gareth just shared a testimony how he had to write something down, but he actually had to humble himself and go back and say, no, but listen, this is actually what it's all about. And that's God. But he wants to speak to us, yeah? But it's a thing of faith. It's from the get-go, from the first initial meeting with God, every individual that's sitting here, well, I shouldn't use that word, that sounds not personal. Every person that is sitting here had that first initial meeting with God, where because of his grace, he came and revealed himself to us so that we can believe in him. And he has given us that faith as a gift so that we can believe in him, yeah? And I just thought this morning, as we're going to start with this series on faith, that let's have a chat on what does it mean to be a people of faith. If you want a title, that's the title. I'm not very good with titles. So what does it mean to be a people of faith? Well, just like any other topic in the Bible that we preach on, let's have a look at what God's Word tells us about people of faith. And we can go and look in the Scriptures and see there's amazing Scriptures in the Bible that God gives us examples of guys that had to go through many trials for them to give us an example of the thing of faith. So what is faith first? Let's look at that. Faith. Faith is something that is dynamic. It's not something that stands still. It's something that's alive. It's not something that lays dormant. Faith is something, if you have to give an analogy, my friend Gareth here, he does the best analogies. But for me, one analogy that really stands out for me is like between a picture of a dam and a river. A dam is something, the rain comes, the dam builds up, it fills the natural, I'm talking about a natural dam, fills the dam, and it's just water that lays still. There's no life in it. It just lays still. There's maybe a couple of like frogs and all little ugly dam fish, but it's not as beautiful as a river. A river flows. A river is something that is active. A river is something that brings life. A river is constantly going down new little avenues. And that is what faith is like. Another illustration is like faith is like a muscle. That if you don't lift up anything in life, this muscle is not going to grow. I see guys at gym, boy, they look like Incredible Hulk. I don't know if it's just lifting weights, but they really look good. And their muscles are huge. But then you get guys that does weightlifting. Now those guys, they're not the prettiest guys, but they're definitely the strongest. Why? Because they train. They train every single day. Their muscles, every single muscle inside of their body, even their feet muscle, they need to train to carry that amount of weight on their shoulders. So I want to encourage us that faith is something that needs to be practiced. Sorry, my accent sounds funny. It's because my nose is blocked. So faith is active. It's ongoing. It's a current reality that we need to live by every single day. It's not just a Sunday thing. Amen. Faith is something that needs to be done every single day, every moment of every day. It's very important for us to understand that. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In Romans 12:3 it says, for through the grace given to me, this is now Paul writing to the church in Rome, he says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. So it says basically, it's not all about you, but I've given you this faith. But now you need to practice this with this faith, yeah? You need to train this thing. And it's exactly what Mike came and did. Basically, Mike came and just went and said, here you go. There you go. Here, take this. He just gave us the word. I loved it because it was all scripture based. He didn't just stand here and tell us stories, and he did have stories. But every story could have been confirmed out of the word of God. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us, that we need to check all things against the scriptures. And that faith is something that we need to step out in. It's something that we need to practice. I remember when I was just saved, God came and he stirred my heart to go out into the streets and do evangelism. So one night I went out and I thought, yeah, I'm going on evangelism. I'm doing this for the Lord and I'm powered up. So I went and spoke to the first guy. He says, excuse me, do you know Jesus? He said to me, it's got nothing to do with you, buddy. And he walked off. And I thought, yeah, he blew me off. I'll remember that one. So, but did that stop me to go again? No. Why? Because of my faith in God. I knew that God put something on my heart. I knew that he entrusted me with this thing. So I went back. And a year later, I went again. But I've been there a few times. And this time I went out with expectation of what God wants me to do. Not what Sean wants to go out and do. And I went and I prayed and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So God said to me, well, you need to clean your car and get there first. So I did that. And I stood there and God just started speaking to me about this name, Rebecca. And I basically walked around and I asked a couple of people, do they know Rebecca? And they looked at me, no, I don't know Rebecca. And we saw this one guy coming over the street with to us. And I walked up to him. I said, excuse me, sir. Do you know Rebecca? And he looks at me and he goes, do you know Rebecca? I said, no, I don't. He says, do you know Jesus? I said, yes, I do know Jesus. And I love him and he's my father. And right there, God gave me this word in my heart that I need to tell him. That Rebecca loves him and Rebecca forgave him. And his head went down and he looked to the ground. And I will never forget it. He looked up and tears were pouring down his cheeks. And he said to me, Rebecca was his daughter and she died 2 weeks back. And he could never. They had a huge fallout and they never made peace with each other. And right there, God came. And he, no matter what that guy did, no matter what Rebecca did, God came and he restored. Why? Because I trusted God. Think of this, friends. If I wasn't obedient and it went all about myself at that stage, at that moment, I could have missed it. I could have missed it. This morning in the prayer meeting, I felt God say this. He said, if we... And I had this picture of Andrea needing to show Susan that Andrea needs to go to the corner of the building, go fetch £1 million and give it to Susan. But Andrea didn't want to listen to me. Not because he doesn't like me. It's just the illustration. She does like me. I think so. I hope so. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, and God just showed me there that we need to be those conduits. That if God speaks to us, we can change something in that person's life by just being obedient, by just doing something small. That same night, I asked, actually Skipper was with me. It was his very first night of street ministry. Skipper was with me. I said, what do you feel, Skipper? He said, man, I don't know, but I see this abnormal, huge person. I'm like, well, you're standing next to me. He's like, no, it's not me. So he says to me, no, this guy's really big. He's a huge guy. And we walked around and we got to the end of our hour that we was on the street. And as we were standing there waiting for the other teams to come back, God tells me, look behind you, Sean. So I look behind me and I'm like, so I tap Skipper on the back. I says, look at this. And this huge hulk stands behind us. This guy's huge. So I says to Skipper, let's go pick a fight. So we walk up to him. I don't know why I said it. We walk up to him. And this guy, I'm like, excuse me, can I just speak to you for a moment? And he's like, show me your muscles. Show me your guns. So I said, listen, I don't have guns. Put that away. So he says, no, show me your guns. I'm like, listen, I don't have. So he pushes me. He says, you want to fight? So I says, no, I don't want to fight. Not now, but let's chat. So he, Skipper comes and stands there, and he pushes Skipper, and he says to Skipper, show me your muscles. But that time, Skipper was a bit bigger since you saw him, yeah. And he picks up his sleeve, and he bulges this huge thing as big as my head. And this guy says, but he uses a different language. He says, my word, that's a huge muscle. And we got his attention, and we start chatting to this guy. And we say to him, listen, do you know Jesus? He's like, man, I'm tired of religion. How can you talk to me about religion now at this place? There's a time and a place for everything, and this is not the time or the place. I said to him, this is God's time. This is God's place, and we can talk to you about Jesus because he's shown us to you. So we start sharing the gospel with him and his mate that's just as big as him. But he's got another guy next to him. It's a short guy, normal guy. And he tells them, listen, guys, we need to listen to these guys. And all of a sudden, I end up speaking to this guy that's a normal size. And he says to me, you know what? God has sent you here for a reason. And it's to call me back. I said, what do you mean? 2 years back, on that day when he spoke to me, God prophesied over him that he will be a man that go plant many churches in Africa. But he's turned his back on God. But God kept on calling him back. And this is, was the, I'm not sure, I can't remember the how many times God has revealed himself to him. And what he did was he left his mate, got in his car and went home. I never saw him again. We can be those conduits. But we need to practice that faith muscle, yeah? So faith, the Greek word for faith is pistis. So today, we're going to speak about this thing called experimental faith. That's an everyday faith. That's a day-to-day faith. Every single hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. It needs to be a part of our lives. It is something that God involves us in so that we can give glory to his name. Yeah? C.H. Spurgeon says the following. I love Spurgeon. Spurgeon, when Spurgeon was 20 years old, he's already preached 600 sermons. He was part of a, he was on 14 different church boards in his area. And that was without his own church. He led a church of 5,000 people. Every week, 25,000 sermons were distributed among people that they read, because they, it's like a newspaper that they send out those days. It's no iPads, there's no internet. That was the way they read up on things. 25,000 newspapers went out to people to read the gospel. Spurgeon read 6 books a week before he went to bed because of his hunger for God. Spurgeon died age 57. He said, I will die happily as a living sacrifice to my great King and Father. He had 3 main sicknesses. He had kidney stones, he had gout, and I think he had some problem with his stomach. One day he was preaching to 5,000 people, and as he was preaching, he couldn't stand anymore, just with the pain of the gout in his joints and stuff. He said, excuse me, and he went behind the pulpit, and he cried out to God. He said, Father, you need to come and heal me right now for your truth to be spoken. Break the bondage of this devil in the name of Jesus. And he had to take the first step, stand on his feet, walk forward and start preaching. He had no pain. He trusted God. This is a man that knew something of faith. Spurgeon basically sums up James 2. He says, faith is obedience. Faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He that obeys God, trusts in God. And he that trusts God, obeys God. He that is without faith is without works. And he that is without works is without faith. Again, James, it's James 2, it speaks of this thing that we need to be that river that flows. That river that flows. Our faith can be that river for God to flow through us, yeah? I'm going to get to the preach soon. So let's look at Hebrews 11, if you will. We're not going to read the whole of Hebrews 11. We're only going to highlight a couple of short passages in Hebrews 11 and then unpack them as the best we can. One thing we need to understand is the people in Hebrews 11, they were people, they were men and women that knew God. They walked with God. They trusted God. They had a personal relationship with God. They trusted Him with the past, with the present, and the future. When God comes, He's interested in your past, in your present, and in your future. That is God's character. That's why when Jesus met with the woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman, He spoke about her past, her present, and her future. Mike highlighted that in his preach the other day. I think it was Wednesday night. We need to understand that God is interested in all men because He sent His Son Jesus to die for all men. Faith is practiced in everyday life. Every day that we walk with God, our faith is being practiced in. It's something that needs to automatically come second nature to us. It must be something like wiping your nose. When your nose starts running, it's bothering you. You wipe it. It's like scratching an itchy ear or itchy toe. That's irritating. Got your work boots on, itchy foot. But you know you need to scratch it. And that's exactly like that stirring inside of you when God speaks to you. It's not irritating, but it keeps on pounding. Go, give that word. Do it for me. Go, go, go. It's not going to go away until the moment passes. Because itchy foot, you can walk with it and it will go away. It's exactly the same. When God speaks to us, we can ignore it and we can miss the moment. But we are disobedient. But that's why God's grace is big, yeah? Yeah. One thing that I remember that Mike spoke about, I'm going to reference quite a bit, is because it's still fresh. He spoke about when you are obedient in something that God has put in your heart, the next time when God puts that thing in your heart, you're going to definitely just go quicker for it. And it increases your faith for the next time that God speaks to you. That's why it's important, like when God speaks, to do it immediately. Not for doubt to come and set in our hearts. That is so important. Because the devil, he comes to steal. And we need to stop him. And that's why it's so important, that scripture that he gave. It says that we need to tell the devil to resist the devil and he will flee. That is so important for us, to resist the devil. J.C. Ryle says this. These names are guys that you can go and read on. J.C. Ryle says that. He says, many people will live in the holiness of God when they die. But not many people will live in the holiness today. Because holiness demands obedience. So let's read about a couple of guys in Hebrews 11 about this thing of faith. Verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks even though he's dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. But his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Sorry. So what happens when we become a people of faith? Number one, we become a people of sacrifice. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. Abel wasn't just a man of faith because he sacrificed, but he was a man of God because of his attitude towards the one he was sacrificing to. That is very important. What is our attitude towards God when we do anything? Not just sacrifice. Let's read in Genesis 4 from verse 1. So we all know the more or less the story. The Garden of Eden, Eve convinced her husband, they sinned, and God cast them out. Now they're in the world, they're of the world, and now they have kids. And the first boy is born, who is Cain. So I'm going to read. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. An offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. It basically says that his face, he had a long face. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Right here, we see that Abel's sacrifice was a pleasing thing to God. But Cain's, God didn't respect it. Verse 5 says that Cain, his whole face fell. He had a long face. He was angry about it. So God asked him, why the long face? Then God said to Cain, to Cain that his offering wasn't acceptable. It's not, he didn't respect it. But here's the thing, with what heart did he give that offering? Because the Bible says that he gave an offering. Where with Abel, he gave the first fruits. He gave the firstborn. What is our faith like sometimes? Like, do we just do church because it's a thing to do on Sunday? Well, we need to go to home group because it's one of those activities. Or do I just do evangelism because, well, if I don't do it, I'm disobedient? Or is it our hearts? Like with Abel, it was his heart to please God, to give that offering. It wasn't a thing because he felt he needed to give the first of the flock. No, it was a heart attitude. Right there, doing well to God. Abel was doing well to God. He was pleasing God. And Jesus himself said, for I only do what my Father tells me to do. Because why? The reason for that is, because he wanted to please his Father. And it's a sacrifice. When we want to please our Father, it is a sacrifice to him. It's not just a thing of, well, it's another box that I need to tick. Paul, he writes to the church in Rome and he says the following. Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, that in your spiritual act of worship, friends, when we are obedient to God, whether it is for first fruits or just obedient when He speaks to us, it's a holy sacrifice. It's a spiritual act to God, and it's pleasing to Him. Don't we want to please our Father in heaven, yeah? That must be our desire, to please our Father in heaven. Friends, when we start living sacrificially and not artificially, we start pleasing the Father. Artificial is something that looks exactly the same as the real thing. But who knows the difference? The one that created the real thing. You get this thing called knockoffs. Have you heard of it? It's like people go and they don't have money for the, well, that's the excuse. They don't have money for the real Nike Airs or the real deal expensive clothing. And I understand it's expensive. But now you can go down to a shop and you can just buy a knockoff. It's exactly the same. It's just certain things are a bit different. First of all, when you put it on, you can feel the difference. Here and there where the jeans maybe fall over the shoes, you can see, well, that's not exactly mended like the real thing. But from afar, it looks like the same thing. But as soon as you bring it up close and personal, you see, but this thing is a fake. It's a knockoff. How do we look to God when we are up close and personal to Him? And that brings me to my next point. We become a people that please God. Hebrews 11, verse 5 to 6 says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So Enoch got taken away. He didn't die. But the reason for that is because of his faith. And the reason for his faith is because he pleased God. But you can't please God without faith. I believe that Enoch had a great testimony. He had a testimony of longing after God's heart. But the only way that Enoch pleased God was that he had faith in God. He believed in God. Look at verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Enoch went to God and believed in God. Because Enoch had faith, it was possible to please God. It is possible for us to please God. Our faith in Him, it is possible to please the Father. Ariana, she's now crawling and she knows exactly when she's, I can't believe it, it's incredible, but she knows exactly when she's naughty. And the other morning, I was looking for her and I couldn't find her. I'm like, Ariana? And I just stayed quiet and I walked into her room and there she was, sitting, doing something that she wasn't allowed to do. And she went into a little dustbin and she got a little carton out there that her teething gel, her teething granules were in. And she started chewing this box. So I stood behind her and I said, Ariana? And she goes, and she gives me this smile that only a little 11-month baby can give you. And I just said, what are you doing? And she starts crawling to me. But right there, you know, I just realized that a lot of times when we do something, we just feel so convicted and stuff, you know. But she knew my voice. She knew my voice. And that is exactly with God the same. When God speaks to us, we know His voice and we respond. But are we going to go back and do it again? We need to please God. Just as Ariana, who is 11 months old, knew by not eating that box, she's pleasing me. So we, by having faith in God, can please God. Yeah. Again, Spurgeon says, faith is the eye which sees, but without that eye, we are blind and can have no fellowship with God in those sacred truths which only faith can perceive. This guy had an amazing way of words. So friends, it is only by faith that we can recognize God, we can approach Him, speak to Him, hear Him, feel His presence, and delight with His perfections. Here is the thing. This letter for the Hebrews was written for the Jews, mainly, in those days. But the reason why this letter was written was to lay fundamentals down for these Jews. So they can see, yeah, Jesus is alive. And the reason why I believe in Jesus is because of prophecy being fulfilled. But he says in Hebrews 10 verse 38, says, now the just shall live by faith. So he's basically explaining to them an old truth. This is an old truth that's being reignited in the Jewish people right there in this letter. Because if you go the first, the patriarchs, the Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible, you'll see it's all about men that's being mentioned in Hebrews 11. It's all examples of men that walked in faith. This thing of faith wasn't a new thing. It was an old thing that died because of religious views that the Jews have by fulfilling their laws. And they've lost this thing of faith. Because they were so focused on keeping this law, keeping this thing every day, a religious view of just doing this and I'll be all right, they forgot about having faith in God. And I believe that's why these Israelites, they lost the plot in the desert, because they lost their faith in God. Even though God did all these miracles, they didn't have faith in Him. They would rather go to a man than go to God. They would rather sit in slavery their whole lives, going back to Egypt, than trusting in God. So Hebrews 11 comes and gives us these examples. But a real important thing here, friends, for us to remember, is that with faith, we please God. Enoch was going after a reward. And that reward was what? Seeking God's face. By seeking God's face, he was pleasing God. We need to grasp this, that we are a people that need to seek God's face. It is there for us. We can live in this today. Jesus paid that price. He didn't just pay the price for me and you to walk into heaven and say, all right, God, thanks. I'm saying this with all fear in my heart, because that's a view that people have. I don't need to be at this and that and this and that because I'm saved, because the blood of Jesus is upon me. We need to understand that we are God's vessels. We are like Christ, and we need to live like Christ. The first Christians, they didn't come up and say, well, our new name is Christians. No, they were spotted by people of this world. And it's three times in the Bible that says Christian. Two times in Acts, and once in 1 Peter. Those two times in Acts, one, when they came in into Antioch, and it's the first time they said, these guys are Christians. The reason for that is, they are Christ-like. And when Paul went up, and he's standing in front of this trial, and he says to Agrippa, and Agrippa comes to him, Agrippa says to him, Paul, truly, you have almost converted me to become a Christian. Peter says that we need to live as Christians. We need to live Christ-like. Where we work, where we walk, where we talk, where we live. When people look at us, do they see us as Christ-like? How did Jesus walk? He was obedient to the Father. It's as simple as that. We need to be obedient to the Father. It's not like ticking down a list and I'll be all right. It's just being obedient to the Father. And He wants to have a relationship with us. Because this thing is walked out in relationship with Him. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy this adventure with God. Because He wants to use us. He wants to go and restore broken hearts. He wants to come and mend people where they have broken away from the church. Bring them back. Bring those prodigal sons back. He wants to give people a hope. And He wants to give them salvation. But most important of all, He wants to have relationship with them. And we can do it, friends. Our faith in Him can do it. Seeking God's face. I almost lost it there. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. David had an amazing ability on this thing of just seeking God's face. If there was a man that went after God's heart, it was David. That's a thing on its own. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. If you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul, you will find Him. Psalm 19 verse 2 says, blessed are they who keep their statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Seek Him with all their heart. Lamentations 3:24-25 says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Another man of faith, and this is point number 3, is Abraham. Point number 3, faith helps us hold on to promises. Abraham knew that being a man of faith meant putting his faith in God. And every promise that God has given him, God came and fulfilled. Even if that promise was bigger than he thought. Even that he told him that out of Isaac, he will have a generation, he will have an inheritance as the sand on the seashores, as the stars in the sky. That is huge. At that stage, I don't think he grasped it. Hebrews 11 verse 17 to 19 says, I'm just going to read it. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promise, was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from dead. God was number one in Abraham's life. Even to the point of death. Even to the point of sacrificing the thing that he loved the most. I received a scripture when I was an electrician in South Africa, and I was working for a company. And just to give you an idea, we were doing major project all over South Africa, and I was away from home most of the time. I saw Mary Lee once a week, and that was when I came back to pack to get clean clothes, and I'll say bye. And God started speaking to me and asking me, who is my first love? Because my work meant a lot to me. I didn't just do it because of the money. I really enjoyed it. And God came and He spoke to me. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I felt like I just needed to sacrifice this thing. I need to go to my boss and I need to say to him, listen, yeah, I'm quitting. We've spoken about this thing. It was so bad that except of my normal 45-hour week that I worked an extra 110 hours a month on top of that. And that was out of town. I never used to be home. And, I had to face this giant. And I went to him and I said to him, here's my letter of resignation. And he said to me, listen, you can't leave. There's no way. I said, no, I can leave because my first love is Jesus and not Nick's Electrical. I'm sorry. I want to honor you. Because you've been good to me, you've been faithful to me, but I have also been good and faithful to you. And this is the only way I can see to go out. Because from your side, you're not keeping your bargain. So he said to me, no, listen, I'm not accepting your resignation. Please go away and pray. He said to me, go pray about this and then we'll chat. So after a week, he phones me, takes me to the best restaurant in the city. We had the best, I had the biggest breakfast ever. I had more than one coffee. I really milked that gal. And I sat there, and the morning, my view was still to leave. The morning before I had my meeting with him, God gave me the scripture with Isaac, sacrificing Isaac. And God's going to come and restore it. And I didn't know, I didn't understand what he meant. So I went to him and he said to me, I went to the meeting and he said to me, Sean, basically what I'll do is, because you're very valuable in this company, so what I'll do is I'll make you GM, general manager, and then in a couple of years, I'll give you 50% of this company. And I'll give you now, it was a couple of thousand increase. And you are your own boss as long as your work is done. And since that day, I think if I worked, and I think I worked for the next 4 years then for him, if I worked 40 hours together in that 4 years, it was a lot. But God came and he restored more than I had. More than I had. My season came to a close and I was very sad when I left there. But God came and restored. Why? Because I was sacrificing that thing for standing between me and God. I had to have faith for that, friends. And that's the same. That was a big step for me because I didn't even have another job lined up. I was just going what God told me to do. Abram's faith wasn't God. The reason? The promise that God gave Abraham. It was such a big promise that Sarah was barren for so many years. Abraham was an old man. He basically had nothing left inside of him. But God gave him a promise, and God came through on that promise. And God blessed them abundantly, more than they could think or fathom. And that's what God has for us when we step out in faith, that he wants to bless us. He wants to give us inheritance of righteousness. And that's what he did for Abraham. He gave him that inheritance of righteousness. And that brings me to my next point. We become a people of obedience. And in our obedience, we receive a great inheritance. Point number four. Hebrews 11:7 speaks about Noah. And it says, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Just catch that last bit. And became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Because of his faith, he received that heir of righteousness. Genesis 6 speaks about Noah, and it says that God saw Noah. It says, but found Noah's faith, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. When we walk with God, we are a perfect man and woman. Noah had to add all the characteristics of Abel. He was a man of sacrifice. Because that's what God's character demands. Abel was a man of sacrifice. He sacrificed with a good heart because of the one he was sacrificing to. Abraham, exactly the same story. Abram was a man that sought God and he kept to his promises. Now, Noah was exactly the same. God comes to Noah. He tells Noah, listen here, I'm going to send down floods from heaven and I'm going to wipe this whole earth off away, all the people on the land and the animals, every living thing. And you go and you build this ark. Remember this. I don't know if you knew this, but there was no rain on earth until that moment where the first drop fell for that flood to accumulate. There was no rain. There was never a thunderstorm. There was nothing like that. It was an unseen thing that God was going to do to wipe man off earth. And he preached it for 100 years. He had no converts. There was no response. The only response was people making fun of him, rebuking him, telling him he was crazy, Do you think doubt came into his heart in that 100 years? It says there, he was perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. When we walk with God, doubt will not come into our hearts. And that's the thing that Mike spoke about as well. When we start realizing that God is inside of us, and it's all about him and not about us, doubt will not be inside of us. Noah and his 8 siblings were saved, and a whole new generation was established from that moment onwards. And that inheritance wasn't just his sons and daughters-in-laws. No, it was by Noah's faith that he held on to God's promises. Even Abraham, when God called him to take everything and to go to a foreign country in Genesis 12, it took obedience to take everything and to go. He maybe just saw his inheritance as Isaac and as Jacob and living in their tents. That's all he saw. And then he passed away. But would he have ever thought that his inheritance, that we will be his inheritance? He had no idea. Our faith affects the future generation. Abraham's faith affected our generation. The faith that Abraham had in God affected for us to live where we are living today. Because of his obedience, we can be that heir of righteousness. God was faithful in his promises to Abraham, to Noah, to Enoch, and even to Abel, who was a shepherd boy. God's promises for our lives are a lot bigger and goes a lot further than we could ever think or imagine. Look at these few men that God used. We barely got to verse 17 of Hebrews 11, and there's so much more. And I want to encourage you to go and read this chapter, just for your faith to be stirred up. Where is our faith today in him, the author and creator of life? Hebrews 11:10 says, the just shall live by faith. And friends, I want to be that just. I want to be the one that pleases God. With you, I want to be that generation that seeks God's face. And we can do it. We can do it. With our faith in God, we can do it. And I want to encourage every single one of us that we can do it. Let us put our faith in the author and creator of us. I'm going to ask Errol to come up now. And Gareth, maybe you can just put on some music. We're going to have communion. But I just want to remind everybody that I'm not entirely sure what Errol is going to... I've got an idea, but I just want to share something here. The Bible speaks about the communion, and Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians, yeah? And I just want to stretch this out this morning. It says here that he gave the Lord's Supper for us to remind us about what God has done on the cross, what Jesus has done on the cross. But it says here in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For the reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together. And he was speaking about guys that came and ate up the communion bread before anybody else could eat it. Yeah, but I want to stretch this thing out, that we need to eat this communion out of a worthy manner. It is not something likely. Let us search inside of ourselves what's going on, you know. I want to just bring that to our attention, that Jesus Christ, this is a remembrance of what he done on the cross for us. And I'm going to ask Errol just to come and share communion with us now. Thanks, Errol.
When Christ walked into the desert at the time of John the Baptist, John the Baptist referred to him as the Lamb of God. Twice in 1 John 36, he says, when John looked at Jesus as he was walking by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And later on, he said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Why was Christ referred to as the Lamb of God? The Jewish ritual for lambs, one was a lamb was offered as a guilt offering. The next one was to remember the Passover. Passover was when the Jews were taken from Egypt. The last curse was God said that the doorposts needed to be painted with the blood of the lamb. And with Christ sharing his blood on the cross, that's where the similarity is. Because through his blood, we have life. Through the blood on the lamb on the doorposts, those children lived. The other sacrifice was a daily sacrifice that happened in the temple. A lamb was slaughtered and put on the altar in the morning and in the evening. And just be it coincidence, the evening sacrifice of the lamb was about the same time that Christ was put on the cross. So three significant references to lambs in the Jewish ritual that Christ fulfilled. In Isaiah 53 verse 7, Isaiah talks about how he was led to slaughter like a lamb. And with this idea of Christ going to slaughter, being our sacrifice, our way to freedom, he is the one who purchased our freedom.